Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Monday, June 5th. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 84, paragraph 2, which begins with, "This thought brings us to step 10. We're going to read six sentences and comment on those six sentences, ending with, "It should continue for our lifetime." Today's readers are Alex K. for the 12 steps, Rhonda R. for the 12 traditions, Lisa N. will read and comment on our text, Tamara C. will read page 164, and Shelley E. is here for backup. The reference number for yesterday's special edition for January 4th is 20321, special edition on the start of summer question and answer. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, the reference number is 20322. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Alex K. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Elaine. Alex Kay in California, compulsive eater, gratefully recovered just for today. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you, Alex K. Rhonda R., will you please read the 12 traditions of OA for us?
Yes, thank you, Elaine. This is Rhonda R., grateful and recovered in Georgia. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 84, paragraph 2. Which begins with, this thought brings us. We're going to read 6 sentences, and I will ask Lisa N. to please read for us.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service today. Good morning, everyone. Lisa N., recovered in Wisconsin, by God's grace and mercy. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. And that is, wow, that is really the truth that I have come to find out. I've been in the program for, I don't know, like 13 years, I guess. But I never did the program like I do it now with this meeting. I've learned so much from all of you, and I thank you so much for teaching me how important that step 10 is. I spoke with somebody yesterday that I completely love and respect, and that person did several 10 steps in a day, and I thought, you know, I could do a few more too if I pay attention. And some of the words that popped out here in these sentences were vigorously commenced this way of living. And that's when I mean, that's what that person does. She vigorously commences the way of living. And the only thing I ever did with vigor was eat. I've never been one to put forth much effort in anything, but as I've grown in the program, thank God, I have realized that I need to do service and I need to do 10 steps every day. And I know that I used to take 10 steps kind of casually, and sometimes I wouldn't even recognize the need for one and miss that, but then it would come back. So thank goodness for that, another opportunity to do that 10th step and get myself cleaned up. And actually let my higher power clean me up. Isn't that who does the cleaning? I do the willingness. That's my higher power does the rest. So it's not an overnight matter. I need to do this for my lifetime. And I had an opportunity this morning. My husband tied up a garbage bag. I wasn't ready. I wanted to fill it more. And I rolled my eyes and I said, oh, I said I was going to put more in there. And he did such a nice job tying it up tight. He does a much better job than me. And I realized how egotistical, you know, I think, okay, I'm in charge. I'm going to take this garbage out. I'm going to do this. And honestly, God doesn't need me to do it that way. He needs me to relax and just do my best. And I guess that's all I have right now. I hope you guys have a great day. Thank you so much for letting me do service. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa, and great kickoff for the meeting. So, okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you haven't shared in the last couple of days, well, I guess it would be since Thursday or Wednesday, then please press star 1 to unmute, and we'd love to hear your comments on page 84, paragraph 2, the first six sentences. Star 1 to unmute.
Rocio C., California.
Rocio.
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Tamara
Anyone
C.
else? Tamara C.
Nancy W.
Nancy W.
Jody E.
Jody E.
Jordan L.
Oh, and Jordan L. That's awesome. Wow, how easy that was today. Okay, I think I'm pronouncing it right. I'm not sure. Rocio C., Wendy B., Tamara C., Nancy W., Jody E., and Jordan L. So, Rocio C., please,
yes.
Please share with us.
You
and
got
we'll
it.
Be followed by Wendy B. Thank you.
You got it. Rocio C., Southern California. You know, what if I don't have the willingness and my higher power does the rest? There's days when I have no willingness to practice my program. And yesterday, I was tired. I didn't want to do my food. I was exhausted. I was very resentful, not having enough time to work my program, right? And the best tool in my toolbox is the step test. I immediately got on the phone with someone, and they were able to walk me through. And what I found, it was this inner child that doesn't want to do the work, who's throwing a tantrum, who wants it her way. And that is not, you know, I have to, the adult has to step in and do the work. Because how I live my life is how I'm going to sponsor. If I'm not doing the work, if I'm not living within integrity, how can I be an example? So living in integrity and sponsoring in integrity. So I didn't want to exercise this morning. I got up. I didn't have the willingness, but I got up again. So what is the difference between the bacon and the egg? That the chicken is involved. The pig has to die. So as to live in integrity, I have to generate that power within me so I can let God in and leave, you know, my needs, my little tantrums to the side. So my ego has to die every day. And I love the step 10 because it allows me to, you know, go into death of all these beliefs, death of, you know, my wants, my needs of running the show. And just surrendering to God so I can live in integrity and do His will. And that's all I have. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Rocio.
I'm sorry. Okay. Can someone tell me where exactly we are? What page?
Certainly, yes. We're on page 84, paragraph 2. We're reading and commenting on six sentences, beginning with, this thought brings us to step 10. And ending with, it should continue for our lifetime.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll now have Wendy B., and you'll be followed by Tamara C. Please share with us, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And the line is, continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. And to me, this is about awareness. You know, as I go through my day, interacting with others, you know, I get to invite God into my activities and encounters, and I become teachable, you know, and I'm looking for what God is trying to show me, you know, and I take a humble attitude, you know, like I'm honest about my mistakes and I own them. And I no longer try to hide, you know, and cover them up. You know, they're growth opportunities. And, you know, I learned to let go of wanting to look good to others, you know, trying to manage my image. You know, I just get to accept my humanness and my imperfections. And I also get to look at other people's reactions to me. You know, if someone has an issue with something I'm doing, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm wrong. You know, it might be that they have a problem with acceptance, you know, that they need to work through, and we just need to have a conversation about it, you know, to clarify our differences. And, you know, I'm learning, you know, I'm allowed to have a different opinion, you know, and it doesn't make either of us wrong, you know, and, you know, trying to navigate these differences, you know, while honoring each person's right to have their own opinion, it's still, I'm still learning that, you know, because I come from such a rigid black and white background. So some of this setting things right is me learning how to have grace and compassion for others, you know, who have a different perspective than me, and not making them wrong. You know, so then I shut down around them, you know, now I can be interested in their perspective and ask questions. And this setting things right is learning to honor other people, you know, as children of God, and to see them through the eyes of love and compassion. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Wendy B. Next up, we have Tamara C., and she'll be followed by Nancy W.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. And I appreciate that the word continue is repeated here. It has been pointed out to me that this lets me know I'm taking what I just learned in steps 4 through 9, and I get to practice this way of living now that I learned in the earlier steps. And so it does help me to go back and review the instructions. What did I learn in 4 through 9? What is it that I'm continuing to watch for? So now I get to practice this. I live in the steps. I turn to the steps instead of the food. And for me, it helps me to do 10 steps over small things, not wait for some big emotional explosion, but just continue to watch, like, oh, there's a disturbance, or especially if I have some thought, like, how much longer till I get to have lunch or whatever, then it's like, whoa, let me look and see, is there a disturbance? And sometimes I think, no, I'm doing fine, but if I really pause and look, then I can say, you know what, like, for the last 30 minutes, this anxiety has, I've been, like, spinning in my mind over this thing, and I didn't even realize. And so it does help me to pay attention, and doing 10 steps over the small things helps me see patterns and keep returning to the truths that I'm learning about myself and God. My sponsor helped me by reminding me to continue to do not just the fear inventory and the resentment, but also that sex conduct inventory, which for me is relationship conduct in all my relationships. Continue to watch for harms that I do. See that I'm human. I'm right where I'm meant to be, a growing, recovered woman, and that means I'm going to continue to have my defects come up and continue to do harms and make amends and just keep growing. It also helped me that my sponsor shares with me her experience as she's growing spiritually and what she's learning by doing 10 steps, and that's just a really good example for me. I still have this selfish script, which gets me into fear and resentment. I'm not cured. And so my solution is to stay in the world of the spirit, notice the things that block me, and use what I learned in the earlier steps. These steps help me give it all to God and keep living, keep returning to that happy, free, and useful life that I want to have. I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Tamara C. Nancy W., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Jody E.
Good morning, Nancy W., compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. This is just a beautiful paragraph. And when I'm looking at it, I see that last July when I joined the program, I totally highlighted, triple highlighted, we have entered the world of the spirit. And that has always been a part of my life, being on that journey. But getting into these rooms and getting into the OA program has brought that to a bigger, fuller, more rewarding dimension. And I'm just recently come out of a relapse, and I wasn't working the program like I should have. And I have found over the last few weeks that getting integrated into it again has just opened up so many more intuitions, and getting to know my Creator more, and relying on Him more. The big thing that came to me too during this time was the liar in my head, to quell it and to find ways which are the tools to keep it at bay and keep it away. The other aspect has been the forgetter in my head. So just being here on this program continues to let my forgetter take a break, because I'm every day aware and being brought to hear more by all of you wonderful people. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Nancy W. Jody E., you're up next, and you will be followed by Jordan L.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California this morning. We have entered the world of the spirit. What a beautiful thing to enter the world of the spirit. I appreciate all the shares I've heard already this morning very much. We do enter the world of the spirit once we become abstinent. Of course, even before we become abstinent, we're all part of the world of the spirit. We are alive. We are part of the world of the spirit. But becoming abstinent, our mind clears. The connection to the spirit is stronger, is clearer. There's not as much static from the food, and we work the steps 1 through 9, and then we get to this step 10, and we get to continue what we've already done over and over and over again, as was said, 4 through 9. Every day is a day when I must carry the vision of God's will into all of my activities. But every day I wake up as a human being, and my defects of character, which I identified in 4 through 6, are they going to come back? My fear, my resentment, my ego. And every day, if I pause and take stock of what's going on in my mind and my heart, I can always find something, some little annoyance, some anxiety, some fear, maybe anger. And some of us may be more prone to anger, some may be more prone to fear. But all I have to do is stop, and now I'm not afraid to notice those things anymore. I was terrified before I came into OA of recognizing my defects of character, but now I welcome that. Because by welcoming that and seeing it, I can begin to change it with the help of my higher power and my fellows. So let's embrace this step 10 and practice it every day and continue for the rest of our lives. And with that, I pass.
And thank you very much, Jody E. Jordan L. is up next. And after Jordan L., we'll take another lineup. We're reading and commenting on page 84, paragraph 2. It begins with, this thought brings us to step 10.
And we read through six paragraphs, halfway through the paragraph, six sentences halfway through the paragraph, ending with, "It should continue for our lifetime." Please share with us on that, Jordan L.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, Elaine, for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. Okay, so we've at least started step nine at this point, right? So like I've made at least one amend by this point, because it does say here that like we start doing this as we're cleaning up the past, right? But I've at least started step nine. Meaning I've admitted at least one mistake at this point in time. So I'm starting to understand like what it means by we continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. And I got to tell you, like not even practicing this step perfectly, because I do not practice this step perfectly, but persevering with it. Like continuing to practice this over the years, as I stay sober, as I stay abstinent, like it really does start to work on you. And even if it's at the most like basic, like the most basic level of like, I'm not going to do this because I don't want to make amends, you know, like right there, that is God using, my stubbornness, a so-called character defect, to help me grow in understanding and effectiveness, you know? my experience with this is that step 10 is not an intellectual exercise. This is not about me doing this in my head. This is about me living it out in the world. we've entered the world of the spirit. Like that's my interpretation of what it is that they're talking about there. The world of the spirit is not up in my head, and it will never be up in my head. It is around me. It surrounds me completely and totally, right? And I've tapped into this inner resource. I've tapped into this inner resource that helps me understand my connection to the world of the spirit around me, this physical world, where I have the ability, like my creator has given me this ability, to function in this world around me. So it is most definitely, I'll wrap up here. It's most definitely not an overnight matter. my understanding and effectiveness has continued to grow. And I hope that it does continue for my lifetime. It's quite an honor these days to be able to stay abstinent and be here practicing this daily. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. Though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on the last couple of meetings, then we would ask that you, and you'd like to comment on page 84, paragraph 2, the first six sentences, then please press star 1 to unmute and let us know. Melanie C. from Oregon.
Melanie. Dolores, Arizona.
Dolores. Liz S.
Liz F, was it?
Yes.
Okay. And who else was there?
Joanne B.
Larry G. from California.
Okay. And I think I heard Don B. and Larry G. So I've got Melanie C., Dolores A., I believe. No, Dolores from Arizona. Didn't get your last name. Liz S., Don B., and Larry G. Was there maybe one more in there that would like to get in this lineup?
Joanne P.
Christina M.
Okay, Joanne P. and Christina M. And if we have time, we'll have both of you. But And I hope we do. Okay. So if you're not Melanie C., please press star 1 to mute your phone. And Melanie, you'll be followed by Dolores in Arizona.
Okay, good. Thanks. Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. I was just flooded with what I've been taught when you read these first six sentences today. And it, for me, it feels like it's this cloak of comfort and support and protection. But what I've been taught is that any time that I'm disturbed, and you know, it doesn't have to be a resentment. Oh, you're kidding me. It doesn't have to be somebody I hate their guts or anything like that. No, whenever I'm disturbed, this is very effective for those things. And what I'm in the process now is learning what this disease looks like, how it manifests itself. Food's down. That was just only a distraction. You know, as large and huge as it was in my life, it was a distraction from being able to see where I was living this life, unable to manage it sober. And so we're going to get down to looking at what these things are. And I take the words very, very clearly. I have entered the realm of the spirit. The realm of the spirit doesn't necessarily include the realm of my feelings. And this, as Jordan was saying, this is not an intellectual thing. This, I have no mental defense against this. I cannot sit down and say, yeah, that little thing kind of annoyed me when she didn't put her shopping cart back. But, you know, I can rationalize that's just, you know, no big deal. I don't have to deal with that. Well, in the beginning, I did need to put those things down because what I was learning was the language of the disease that's subtle, cunning, and baffling that's going to take me down if I do not learn about it. And I have to learn with the very, very basics of how to read, how to understand language, all that kind of stuff. And it exposes for me where it is that my mind is dysregulated. In each and every case, does it take away the way I feel? You know, feelings aren't in the realm of the spirit. It is what I do. This is action, 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 action. And it's built in beautifully and perfectly. And the women that are in my life model for me every single day that I move a muscle. I don't move my brain. I move a muscle. I move my leg, move my hands. I do whatever I need to do and follow the directions that are there. It's personal to me. It's what has me off the beam. It's what's taken my attention away, what has very quietly and subtly untethered me from power. It's going to take me down and they'll stack up. It's those little tiny nasty things. The big ones I know. Big ones I know to go to a 10-step immediately and talk to somebody. But it's this piece. But if I didn't make enough of a point, this is action. This is there's no mental defense against this. And this is a protection and a cloak for making a decision for myself that says it's okay to put whiskey in my milk. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for the time. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Melanie C. Okay, Dolores in Arizona, could you please share the first initial of your last name before you
share? Good morning, this is Dolores T., grateful recovering compulsive overeater in Arizona. One of my favorite steps of the book and something I've practiced a lot in my recovery, so it's something I love to share about. For me, step 10 has really saved me from binging. I remember distinctly times where I was ready to go out and binge, and I called someone and did a 10-step, and the desire to binge completely disappeared. So it's really important to me. But I think about, I was looking at the big book on page 12 when Bill talks about, you know, he has this experience with God, and then he says, I was humbled and I found God, but soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself. And so it has been ever since. And for me, you know, step 10 is like step 4 in that I'm trying to get rid of those things that are blocking me from God. And the worldly clamors in my head, you know, is another place I think it talks about the buildup of emotion. So I just can't afford to have that, because that for me will, you know, lead me to compulsively overeat. So that's a really important step for me to practice a lot. And like someone else said, a lot of times I'm not even aware until I'll talk to my sponsor and do a 10-step that so much has been, you know, piling up. And that's really a dangerous place for me, because I have to continue to get rid of the things that are blocking me. Otherwise, you know, I'll be just listening to the clamor in my mind. So I need to get that clamor out and the over, you know, the buildup of emotions I have to get out too. And you know, you might talk about it intellectually, whatever. Just for me, it's a buildup of emotions. It's a buildup of anger. It's a buildup of fear, you know, and those are things that could lead me to compulsive overeating. My sponsor says it's all about feelings. So I guess there's different opinions here. But anyway, I wanted to share that because it's been so helpful in my recovery. And thank you, everyone, for doing service this morning. And have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Dolores P. Liz S., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Don B.
Good morning. It's Liz S. and Sam in New Hampshire. And something, you know, just occurred to me. I've often wondered how I can increase my conscious contact with my higher power. And this is one of those ways, because I'm continually unblocking the wall, the distance, or, you know, decreasing the distance between me and I choose to call my higher power, I choose to call God or my higher power, by getting the debris out of the way, by working consistently on the defects. And the more I do 10 steps, the more I'm aware of what must change, and therefore the more I can change. Once I know what I'm doing that's off, I can do the opposite. Practice the opposite, continually practice the opposite. So this step truly helps me to enter the world of the spirit of whatever power it is I choose to surrender to by continually changing for the better, for the better, for the better, and also continually working on having acceptance of others who I don't agree with or who don't agree with me, or, you know, becoming one among many. You know, as Bill so beautifully said, to be on that bridge to life, because that's what this for these steps are for me, a bridge to life. But I can't be on the bridge if I'm elbowing and punching and pushing and shoving my way. I'm not going to be very welcome. So this step helps me to really look at where am I off and where can I correct and change for the better. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Liz S. Don B., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Larry G.
Hi, good morning. This is Don B., a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Love Step 10. It's just wonderful, and so happy to be reading this paragraph or these sentences today. Step 10. So writing any new mistakes as we go along, and I'm vigorously commencing this way of living. So this means that I'm really working at it, really, you know, strenuously working at looking at what might pop up during the day that takes my attention, my focus off of being in the loving presence of my higher power. So anything that gets in the way. In the fourth step, we were clearing away all those blockages between us and our higher power. And step 10 is just to maintain that clear connection, that clear flowing of God's loving presence in our lives. So it's so important to clear away anything that might be distracting me from that loving presence of God in my life. And step 10 helps me to sit down and just, you know, how am I feeling? How are things going? And if there's anything that's taking my focus off of God's loving presence. So it could be any fear, resentment, but any disturbances others have mentioned as well. It can be any uncomfortableness. And sometimes I'll sit down to do a 10-step and I'm really not knowing what I'm feeling. Then I'll just start writing and all of these things will pour out onto the paper, you know, uncomfortableness that I might be feeling. And so why do I have that uncomfortableness? Well, it comes when I start to forget that I'm no longer running the show and I'm no longer trying to play the director. I'm trying to arrange the other actors and get them to say the lines that I want them to say. I am now just relaxing in God's loving presence and letting God be the director. And I'm also looking to my director for my lines. So I'm asking God, what would you have me say? You know, how would you have me speak to this person? Help me to see this situation more like you see it, God. Help me to see this person with your eyes. Help me to love them as you would delight in me loving them, God. Give me your words. What are my lines here, God? as God as my director. And I'm entering the world of the Spirit now. So that means the place where God is in charge and running the show. And I am no longer doing that. I'm no longer trying to play that I know what's best and needs to happen next. I'm now saying, God, whatever your will is, I accept it, I welcome it, and I say thank you. May your will only be done, God. Your will only be done. Give me my lines, God. What would you have me say? Help me to see this person and love this person as you would delight in me loving them. Your will be done, not mine, God. For me, that's the world of the Spirit. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much for sharing, Don B. Okay, Larry G is up next, followed by Joanne P. Please share with us, Larry.
Hi, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. Larry G from California. I've been in 12-step a long time, and I really never practiced the 10-step except making amends if I've harmed somebody and then doing an annual spring cleaning until I got the vision for you. The way I learned about 10-step is you write a novel. You know, you write out this novel page after page, and it's just not sustainable. I had about 3 months in vision for you of entire absence as defined the doctor's opinion. And as it said in the big book, you know, the goose was hanging high. Everything was going well in my life. I was out taking some hazardous waste 20 miles away out in the country, and I was running out of gas and really dangerous out there with these hazardous waste trucks bearing down on you. And I turned around to get back. This only gas station was one of these mini marts. And the last few miles, I had this voice. And I don't know about you. I don't have this seductive voice saying about, you know, eating. I had this really mean, nasty voice saying, vision for you is a fake. You know you want to eat, sucker. You get in that service station and you just go past gas and you buy as much Hostess products as you can and just get on with it because this absence is bullshit. And I knew I was in trouble. And there was this little voice that spoke to me before I entered the parking lot. Said, Larry, you're in trouble, man. You are in big trouble. You better call somebody. And I called this person. I had this number. I had never talked to this person before in my life. And I had this number. She's in a vision for you. I called her, and she picked up in the first ring. And the first thing she said after telling my story, she said, let's do a 10-step. Let's do a 10-step, Larry. I said, I don't have pencil and paper. She said, I don't care. Let's do a mental 10-step. And I did. And I did a mental 10-step with her. And in that moment, I learned for the first time that it's not my feelings that get me loaded. It's my thinking. You know, in AA, they talk about it all the time, right? It's thinking. But where I came from was all about feelings. And I learned what the true message in the doctor's opinion is not my feelings that get me drunk. It's my thinking. That woman stayed with me until I picked my wife up. She's a principal. I picked her up at the school. And I got home. I had my absent meal. And I can report to you that I made it. I had no human will. My human will was gone. And by calling out and reaching out and doing a 10-step on this major disturbance, I believe that I'm on this line today because of that. If you are on the sidelines of doing this, pick up the phone and call one of these women who've shared about the 10-step today. They'll teach you how to do it within 5 to 10 minutes, how to write in 5 to 10 minutes, and call somebody and to, you know, give your 10-step as it's defined on page 84 in this paragraph. And you too will clear up all the psychic baggage that I would carry around throughout the day. I belong to this global OA community, and I have to tell you, it's a regular part of my practice today. I turn it back to the moderator. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry G. Joanne P. and Christina M., we have time for two-minute shares. So, Joanne P., if you please share with us for 2 minutes, that would be wonderful.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Joanne P. from Pennsylvania, a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater. So thankful for this program and so thankful for the opportunity to share on these words. Oh, my goodness. These, to me, step 10 is, it's my instruction for daily living. This is what I do every night when I do my 11th step, and I think not if I was resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid, but when. When was I? When I started thinking about it that way, I realized, you know, that I had probably attempt step to do every day. And this to me is going to continue for a lifetime. Otherwise, I'm going to be right back in the disease again. So these instructions here entered into the world of the spirit has helped me to grow so much. Doing these 10 steps started a new way of living for me because I learned all about me and and how it was all about me and and my thinking, right? And it gets me into trouble. So this is a powerful tool for keeping me from relapsing. This is I love the 10th step because it is, it does help me to grow in understanding. And I love this program because I do continue to grow every day. I learn more and more about myself and others and acceptance and humility and surrendering to a higher power that can do for me what I cannot do for myself. So with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Joanne P. Christina M., please share with us for 2 minutes. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Hi, everyone. I'm Christina M., a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. So grateful to be here, and thanks, everyone, for doing service at this meeting, and welcome any newcomers on the line. I just wanted to share briefly, the shares have been so amazing on step 10. And what stuck out to me today is the word continue, which just in these brief these six sentences, continue appears three times. And this, for me, as a real compulsive overeater, this is like new information, that this is something I have to continue with for the rest of my life. I always had so much in the food and with my disease of compulsive overeating, I had so much magical thinking. You know, I thought that if I could just lose weight, everything in my life would be fixed and I would be, I could just return to the world as a quote unquote normal person and just get on with my life. And that has not been my experience. What this is telling me is that I have to continue with this, continue with step 10, continue with the steps. Otherwise, I'm going to continue with the food. Those are my only options. And I have understood that, as a result of going through these steps. And the other thing that just struck me today was our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. You know, my whole life I wanted to have understanding and to be effective in my life. And I just, as a result of being a real compulsive overeater, I just felt confusion and ineffectiveness. And so to me, this is also sort of like a promise, that I'm going to be living in a totally different way. And like others have shared in the world of the spirit. So just so grateful for this meeting and thanks everyone. I'll pass.
Thank you very, very much, Christine M. and everybody that shared. So powerful. So we're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tamara C. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, and thank you. This is Tamara C., recovered in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. Be to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.